Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey guys, what's up? Jin here with the Otakuology Podcast. Are you ready for tonight's show? Because it's going to be great. But we have to know the cast first.
Some might say it might be delicious.
I hate you right now. I almost started doing like a Team Rocket. Like, some say it might be delicious. And some say you might adventure into a dungeon. But I was like, we don't need a Jesse and James this shit again. We've done that way too fucking.
That's right.
No, that's delicious.
Oh, sorry, that's delicious.
Christ. But we're talking about episode 11 and 12.
No, we're talking about episodes
14.
13 and 14 is what we're talking
about. Look, I knew. 13 and 14 of Delicious and Dungeon. So hopefully you're up to date as well as me and Mike are so that you can listen to this episode without any spoilers.
I have things to say when we get to the second episode, I feel like.
I agree.
Episode 14, but I'm going to wait to talk about that.
Me too.
All right.
A little bit. Okay. So episode 13 is actually our last episode where we get to see the really cool, Chunk of Chicken Orchestra song or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The Bump of Chicken?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that is really my top song for this right now.
I do have to say it is it's a really good song.
Right.
Like it goes well with the
and the name's fun to say.
Bump a chicken.
Bump a chicken.
Bump a chicken.
And I mean just the orchestra of it is and everything. I think it's one of those like Naruto or Inuyasha where you listen to like either the ending or the opening. You're like, yeah, this is like the best one of all time. And then you have ones that are like subpar and you're like, I don't like that one.
Well, I mean, let's talk about it now. Okay. I mean, with the next episode, which is episode 14, we do get the new opening. We can talk about the opening.
I don't like that one.
You don't like it?
I think the art of it is good. I don't like how the music goes with it. And I'm not a big fan that it is throwing like basically every monster that we've seen so far into it. Because I'm pretty sure from what I've went back and kind of looked at in the manga that we are kind of in the art part going forward now where we do get away from more of the food aspect of it. It doesn't play as an important role.
See, like I really enjoyed the opening art wise, like visually wise, the new one.
Right.
I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really playful. I liked, you know, that they were like eating stuff and like they were like going into like the dish and stuff and like grabbing all the monsters and all that and whatnot. Yeah. I don't think musically the song is as good as the first one. I feel like they could have kept the first song but made a new opening, like keep like the second opening like art.
Well, and see, like I would have even liked it if it was like Weeds or one of the other ones where it's the same opening music. But they put it in a different like soundtrack.
Like they kind of remixed it?
Yeah, because like Weeds, they did the Little Boxes song, you know, Little Boxes. They did that. But in one, it was like you'd watch one episode and it was bluegrass. And then you watch the next one and it was rap. And then it would change. Like after like season two, it was all different. But it always had the same like visual part to it, which I thought the music made that because it was the same thing you were ready to come back to. Or now, if they had come up with another one that I would feel like was more adventurous or like dungeon-esque or something like that, fantasy-esque, I feel like I would be okay with it.
Yeah.
But this one just doesn't seem like it's very, you know, like, it doesn't seem fantasy-based at all.
Like, I don't 100% hate it. Like, I'm not, like, against it like you are. Yeah. But...
Well, like I said, I did like the art, though.
Is it the same band as the first opening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe if it was the same band, I would have, like, liked it more. Kind of like how, like, in, like, the original Fullmetal Alchemist, yeah, they used, like, what was it, like, Asian Kung Fu Generation or whatever the band was called?
Yeah.
You know, like, if they did something like that where they kept the band.
Well, and even then, you know, it wasn't the same band for most of it, but it was bands that were, like, in the same genre.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because on that one, you had Ready, Steady, Go, and that one was an Asian Kung Fu Generation. But then you had Relight, which is one of my favorite ones, is the third or the fourth opener, and it all kind of fit together. Like,
yeah,
you know, you were in that, like, kind of, like, indie, like, metal, like, yeah, let's go, you know, like, it got you pumped. This one, I feel like the first one kind of, like, took you on that little journey, and then the second one just kind of, like, you were supposed to be in the journey with the art, but I don't feel like the music kept you in the journey.
Yeah, I mean, it might grow on me later on.
Now, the ending song I did like a lot more.
The ending song was really good. I do like the ending song.
And then
I like the visuals that went along with the ending.
Yeah.
Because I agree with that. It looks like it would probably be like if it was ripped right from like the manga artwork, it seemed like.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because the thing, like, I like that last little picture that they had of Laos for the ending.
Uh-huh.
But it made it seem like season one, which is, it's not season one, part one, I guess, is what it would be. Part one seemed like it was all about Laos.
Yeah.
You know, so I do agree. I like this ending, like, wholeheartedly. I like this ending better than the first ending, and I also like it better than the opening of part two.
Yeah.
But I do have some frustrations, not with the music of opening one, but with the actual, like, art opener, because we see different characters in it that are like the elves and stuff, and I hate that it's almost like a mystery that, oh, you know, you don't really know that much. Like, I don't feel like Cabra really should have been in the first opener. This one almost seems like he was half left out, and then it almost makes it at times seem like he's the main character, and I'm like, Cobra's always a side character. Like, I know what we're going for, but Cobra is always a fucking side
character. I mean, he is in the opening, but also, like, Shiro is in the first opening too. And how
this is true.
How much has Shiro actually played into the series so far?
The flashbacks.
He's had two scenes?
Yeah, two or three scenes that were all flashbacks.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they felt like Cobra was more important than he actually is.
Well, and I just feel like they don't want to go through a reel of, like, well, here's Marcel, and here's Fallon, and here's Sinshi, and here's Chilchuck, and here's Laos, and then just keep playing it over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm like, that's, like, your main guys. Like, that's our bread and butter. We're going to have to, like, stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, kind of goes into a little bit of what I would say what we have with episode two, but we'll get into that later on.
Yeah.
But aside from openers and enders or whatnot, series is still going hard, I feel like. But let's dive into episode 13.
All right.
So episode 13, I feel like I really enjoyed this one a little more because it played off of the Red Dragon kind of stuff.
You I know feel what I'm like saying? The first part, which is Red Dragon part three, very much is like an epilogue almost. Sort of, for like the story we've gotten so far,
right?
Like, you know, we think everything's gonna be okay, and then we get the rug pulled out from under us,
right?
And I was like, fucking hell.
Right. Like, well, so let me jump. I want to jump to the end for a second.
Okay.
And then we'll circle back to it. Okay. What did you think whenever the Mad Mage said it? Didn't even say it to Fallon. They were talking to Fallon, but they said, "Dragon, stand up. It's your time," or whatever. And I was like, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about? This is Fallon. Like, we just went on the adventure to save her. We just got her for all this stuff, and now you're calling her Dragon and telling her to get up." And I'm like, wait, do we have some kind of weird possession thing? Like, did we not actually save Fallon? Did we bring the dragon's soul back in Fallon's body?
You know, that's what I honestly took from that.
Yeah, that's like, what I felt like too. But then Fallon was kind of shocked, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, like the dragon is like inside of her. Like, kind of like, you know, like the symbiote, like Venom is inside Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll see. Like, and the only other thing that made me think that is on some maybe like subatomic level, which big fucking words for a fantasy anime, I know.
Yeah.
But on a subatomic level, I really wonder if it's because of the meat that you was used to bring her back.
That's honestly,
is she technically like kind of a dragon, but she's human?
That's honestly what I took away from it.
And then on like that, like, jumping in a little bit of episode 14, you know, we have where somebody else comes back, and we have Mr. Tone.
Yeah.
And he says, "Don't worry about paying for the whatever meat." Like,
it was like goat's blood, I think it was.
Yeah. So does that mean whenever you get brought back, like on a subatomic level, do you now have like goat's blood or whatever they use to bring you back?
Well, I mean, let's bring it back. The only thing that was left of Fallon were her bones.
That's true. And some hair.
And some hair. You know, maybe there was like a little bit of meat left on the bone, a little bit. But like, in reality, like, there was no skin. There was no muscles. Like, yes, right. Like her DNA technically still is in her bones.
Right.
But like, I mean, they basically had to, like, revive her, like, from a subatomic level almost. Like, right. Wolverine getting blown up by an atomic bomb level, like, resurrection.
No shit.
You know?
Or you know, the other thing that it made me think about was when we read that series, Ajin.
I never read Ajin.
Oh, we'll have to read the first one. Right. In that, though, you know, they had a guy that was kind of crazy, and so you'd come back from the biggest part of your body, and so he, like, went through a wood chipper, so the biggest part was, like, a piece of his hand that he turned into fried chicken and sent to somebody. And that's what that made me think about, was, like, so we're bringing you back, but you're just bones, so now all these muscles and stuff are dragon, you know?
You could also say it's kind of like, I hate to use this terminology, but possibly like a Nina Tucker scenario.
Oh, Jesus. Like a chimera?
Yeah. Where, like, maybe it's Fallon's soul, and yes, it looks like Fallon is in there, but, like, maybe she's sharing her body with the dragon.
Yeah.
Because we do get mentioned that the Mad Mage controls, like, the big monsters in the dungeon.
Right.
And technically, well,
that the Mad Mage controls all the monsters in the dungeon.
And virtually, technically, Fallon would qualify as a monster.
Yeah. But this also kind of made me think a little bit of, like, what was it? I want to say it was like Yu Yu Hakusho or something, where you had like sacred beast or something like that, you know, that were like the cornerstone, and those were like the guardians of certain places.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're kind of getting a little off topic. We want to get back on the,
well, I mean, like, from what the Mad Mage brought up, because it did say that the dragon was one of them. And as far as we know, there's like three other creatures that are like the, like, guardian creatures of the dungeon. that we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only reason I brought that up, though.
Yeah. But going back to
the guardian creatures,
the beginning of the episode, everybody's very much like the aftermath of what happened with the red dragon. Everybody's asleep. And I was going to say Laos. Fallon wakes up. And Fallon goes to the remnants of what is left of the dragon. And this is where the dragon is like all melted.
Yes.
And like disintegrated. And she's like sitting in the dragon's blood.
Yes.
That's what
blood, it was. Yeah. Blood or like melted meat.
Yeah. And yeah. Laos finds out and wakes up and
they play it off like it's Laos's dream.
Yeah, because he thinks like, what was it? Like he thinks like Fallon is like sleepwalking or something or like whatever I think it was.
Yeah. And do you remember, are Laos and Fallon, are they twins?
I want to say no, because I think in the flashback, Fallon was a little bit younger than, looked a little bit younger than Laos.
Okay. Because I was thinking maybe that was why he had like, maybe they had like a sibling connection.
Maybe they just have a really strong bond.
That's true too. Yeah. But I was wondering if that's why he had the dream that way.
Yeah, because I don't remember what the dream was, but he does have a dream.
It was Fallon getting out of bed and doing all that other stuff.
Oh, was it? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so we end up seeing or meeting the Mad Mage.
And he Marcel, where's Fallon?
Yeah, like, Marcel, where's Fallon? Yeah, and everybody gets up, and we meet the Mad Mage, and oh boy, does he mean business, I feel like. He is very upset with everything that's happened. They brought the attention of the Mad Mage onto themselves because they killed the dragon. And he's like, basically like, oh, you know, I'm not done with...
That's what they think is it is the dragon, but we're not 100%
sure. Yeah, we're not 100% sure, yeah. And the Mad Mage starts attacking our group, which he starts summoning like these like little blood dragons. And man, this
like pseudo dragons.
This scene is like
worms.
So intense.
Dude, right. You know what it made me think about?
What?
Resident Evil 3.
Oh.
Where, you know, she's on the big thing with the flamethrower on it and all the crows are coming after her.
Oh yeah, I can think about
that. That's what that seemed like. But it was these little blood dragons, and you're like, oh shit.
I was very much like, man, how are they gonna get out of this? And they end up getting swallowed up by the ground because the Mad Mage basically wrecks shop and takes them out.
Right.
And he actually notices Laos and he's like, oh, I know you. You're the guy from the paintings.
Right.
What are you doing here? And I'm like, oh my God. Things are afoot.
Right. And we did get a little backstory there too. So, I mean, the Mad Mage is basically crazy and doesn't understand that basically the king is dead.
Yeah.
And that the town has basically been buried under the earth and everything. And is still like waiting for, you know, his majesty to come back and take what's right.
Yeah. Like what's rightfully his.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, we did find that out. So it is kind of a crazy situation. But we drop through the floor. We get a like a pitfall. I can't remember what the little crushy things are called.
Oh, it's like a trash compactor. And this scene where they're all in like a room with no windows or whatever. It's like four walls, and they're like, oh no, like it's starting to collapse in on itself. Very much reminded me of like the Star Wars scene.
Star Wars, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But, you know, like, they kept showing it where it was just Sinchi, Chilchuck, and Marcel, like, trying to push back.
Yeah.
And it just kept closing. I was like, Laos is already dead. Like, he's already, like, half-crushed. If they had him laying out, he's already half-crushed, okay?
Which, did you notice that Marcel's wand breaks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen with that?
Ambrosia?
But they get out. they're in this creepy room. They don't know how they got there, but they got out. And they meet up with the orcs, which,
yes,
Joe Chuck opening the door to meet the orcs, he screams like a little girl.
Yes.
He's like,
ah! It was funny.
It was funny. It was a funny moment to break up such an intense, like, first, like, fucking 15 minutes of this episode.
Yes.
Like, it was so intense.
Well, and then we also think, like, it's the guys that we've met before.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It's they're a different part of the group.
Yeah, it's a different part of the group that has been in the lower part of the dungeon that are basically just, like, looking after and taking care of it until the other ones return.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, knowing what we saw, the difference of them was, like, the other one has more of the women and children, and this one has more of
the
fighters and, you know, the stronger women and some other stuff, so.
Now, I don't remember her name, but we meet this one female orc.
Do you remember what her name is?
I don't remember. But she's, like, really important, it seems like.
Oh, did you not catch who she was?
No.
Let's see. Dwarves.
So, what's her name?
Her name is Leed.
Leed?
Yeah, L-E-E-D.
Okay, L-E-E-D. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I don't remember her name being said, and I watched the episode twice.
I think it was kind of mumbled under somebody's breath.
Maybe.
I don't think we actually, like, fully knew. But did you know who she was?
Was she related to the one guy in that one episode?
Yeah, she is the chieftain orc's sister.
Okay.
And that guy's name is Zone.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember him. I vaguely remember him.
Yeah, he was the one that was kind of standoffish. Yeah. And they made the bread, and he's like, that bread is property of ours.
Yeah. I vaguely remember him in that episode. They end up trying to kill the party, but Senshi ends up, I think he recognizes some of them, and he's like,
one of them recognizes him.
Is that what it is? One of them recognizes him.
And they look at him and they go, you look really familiar, basically. And they have to get right up on him because he's got, like, a different smell. But when they're right up on him, they kind of notice the vegetable smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they actually tell him that. They're like, oh, you're the vegetable guy.
Yeah, you smell so different.
Yeah.
And
which I'm wondering if that's the blood from the dragons.
Oh, maybe.
Or something like that.
That maybe. It might be. But the orcs end up helping out Senshi and the gang. They make this weird orc concoction.
And oh my god. Oh my god. They crush
all this different stuff up, like frog legs and bugs and stuff like that.
It's like poisonous stuff.
And it's like green, like thick paste almost.
Yes.
And they go to, like, distribute it. Like, okay, you know, you drink this. And they're like, no, it's okay. And they have to basically force feed it to them by mama birding it in their mouth.
Right.
And, like, Laos is knocked out, so he doesn't care. Like, doesn't he wake up at one point? I can't remember exactly.
No.
He doesn't wake up at all.
I think he may have, like, gotten shocked because of the flavor.
The shock on Marcel's face when she is watching Laos get basically, like, fed this stuff.
The shock on her face when she had to take it.
When she had to take it too, yes.
Jesus. I just thought Laos was going to take it. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad he's not awake for that. And then she got Marcel with it. And I was like, oh my god.
Do you think that was Marcel's first kiss?
Definitely not.
Was the ogre?
Or the orc? No, I don't think so.
But yeah, and like Sinchi and Chilchuk were just standing there, like just watching all this happen.
Do you guys need any? No,
we're good. You know, but yeah.
Then, which, you know, she's got the two big dogs with her. I think those are the wards that were the dog bones that they put together to figure out if they had all the right bones for the two dogs and for Marcel.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think that's what those would be. Because they never mentioned what they were, but I think that's what it was. Because they're big dog skeletons that
we... Interesting.
Yeah, and that was one more thing I really wish that we would have had more of a visual on instead of just the skeletons. Uh-huh. So we would have known that walking into it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, Lead has a problem with Chilchuk.
Mm-hmm.
Chilchuk sounds like he's basically a coward. And
he is.
Lead fully goes off of this thing that the orcs are strong. You never leave your party behind. You never do this. You never do that. And she is just really hard-headed a lot with Chilchuk in this episode.
Yes.
Since she asked, he's like, I have to stay here because I got to monitor the situation, basically. Can you go back and get our equipment? So she ends up taking him back, and that's where they kind of get their words out about you're a coward, you know, at least I'm not a brute kind of situation.
Yeah. And he makes a point to Lead yeah. where he is like, you know, you weren't in the situation that we were in.
Right.
You know, it's like not really a cowardice way to think. You know, you don't want your friends to die. And I feel like there was very much an inner struggle between Chilchuk and himself of, you know, yes. like
the, I would agree with that.
Like the job, like the purpose of his job, his duty to help, like get through with the party. And then like right. him almost separating himself and like not wanting like his really wanting his friends to die.
Right.
You know.
And I think we see a little bit of a different thing for this in episode 14 when we get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you because we did have like the whole thing for a little while of he just kind of does stuff for money.
Yeah.
And really knowing that he points them out as friends, and even though he knows he's supposed to be getting money, you know that he's gone out of his way here and there, that the money part really doesn't matter.
I feel like at this point he's doing it like pro bono almost.
I feel the same way.
You know, like he, like the money quote could have already dried up.
That's true too.
Because they haven't really found anything of value.
This is true too.
But yeah, it's also very much like a come to Jesus moment, I feel like, in Chilchuk and himself at this point.
I agree. We also get the little ghost part.
The ghost part where
that
like...
That was kind of cool because we did see where the Mad Mage talked to a group of them. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, I'm confused about what you're saying to them and what everything is. Because I almost feel like it was a needle hidden in the haystack because of the ghost episode where we made the sherbet.
Yeah.
You know, like, we didn't know very much about ghosts. We got a little tad bit of stuff, but we didn't know. And we hear a little bit about that, but then really from Lead, we hear more about it. Like, if you're traveling a route that has a ghost, then it's usually pretty safe because ghosts don't travel hectic paths.
Yeah.
And that the ghosts that are still here are actually remnants of people that were in the kingdom at the time when the king and everything was around.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happened, you know, for them dying or whatever, they're still here and they still have retained part of their, I want to say humanity, even though that's not really
like most,
what it is. Like they know.
Most of the ghosts like aren't bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we did kind of get that stuff as the party got sent into the floor and they came out to basically see like what was going on.
I think
and
the ghost saved them.
Yes, the ghost did save them because they opened that little spot in the wall to pull them out.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it disappeared. So
yeah, I love this scene towards the end, where like, so the part they get all their stuff back at one point. You know, he gets all their stuff. Chilchuk does, and they go back, and he's very much like, you know, Laos, we are down for the count. We're very much on our last leg. We need to go up to the surface.
Right. We need to resurface.
Huh? You know, we need to resurface, regroup, get more supplies, whatever we need to do to come back and face the Mad Mage. Because we, like it or not, we are on his radar now. And he's like the most right. He is God in the dungeon, basically.
Right.
And he was like, you know, we got to do this. And Laos was like, okay, you know, like, let's. Yeah,
well, and, you know, he also saw where the dragon was gone.
Yeah, the dragon's gone. Yeah, the dragon just gone. Yeah.
Like, there was a blood splatter on one of the walls. But other than that, like, everything for the dragon's gone, gone.
Yeah, he's like, come on, let's go get healed up. Let's do this. Because he's like, I don't want any of my friends to die.
Right.
Which includes Senshi, you know?
Yep.
And it was very much like, okay, you know, like, let's go. You're absolutely right, Chilchuk.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh my God, like, all the progress they have made, they are literally back to square one.
Right.
Like the Mad Mage took the cheese, which the cheese is Fallon. And, like, moved it to God knows where now.
Right. Right. I think the only other thing that we didn't cover for this episode is Lead has a weird obsession with her brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was kind of watching that. I was like, is this supposed to be, like, some kind of alluding for Fallon and Laos? Because Fallon kind of acts that way with Laos a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe like a, oh, big brother type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, that is so weird.
Yeah, not like a Onisama type of thing. Like, it's right. Like a big brother.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So... But yeah, I mean, I feel like we've covered all of like episode
13. Yeah, this one I did actually really like. I feel like it does give a lot to Chilchuk.
I agree in a way,
you know, like it humanizes Chilchuk so much more.
I agree.
You know,
I feel like it did that and gave us more information in an easy way that we will know that we'll use later, but it did it in such a way that it didn't seem like it took away from the episode, like, and made it all about that.
I will say, if we fucking meet up with Fallon again and they rescue her and then we have to go through all this shit again, I don't know if I'm down for more of this show.
Well, hey, buddy.
Like if you
keep... I know something you don't.
Like, I know, like, the manga, I think, just ended, I think it was. I don't remember. But, like...
It's about to end. Like, it's already ended, but we're waiting in America for, like, yeah, the last volume to come out.
Like, if we move the princess to a different dungeon, like, a couple more times... I don't know if I'm going to be staying with this.
Have you ever played Castle Crashers?
Yes.
Do you know how the ending of that is?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, the events that will come up here soon that we will find out about Fallon feel like the ending of Castle Crashers.
Like, I hope they get Fallon back and she ends up in like a regular party role.
I'm not going to say a thing.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going to let you stew.
I mean, that's fine. Like, maybe, like, the end goal is defeating the Mad Mage. But if we had...
I just thought about it. I could have been a total dick and been like, oh man, Fallon's gonna marry the Mad Mage, and just like left you on a cliffhanger like that.
But I mean, like,
that didn't happen, but I could lead you astray.
If we keep having, if the whole manga is search for Fallon, I don't know if I want to continue the show.
I don't think it's a search for Fallon. Okay. I think it's something else.
Okay, so. That's fine.
You're like, damn it, Jacob.
Well, I mean, but, I could see that as like getting really bored with the story.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not evolving the story potentially, or you're not coming up with better ways to make the story more interesting. I could see that. I could see that potentially being a problem.
Well, I could see that being like a secondary, not for the group.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that being primary for the group, but I could see it being secondary to us viewers as we find out more about like the Mad Mage and these ghosts and other things going forward.
Yeah.
Like, sure, we know what the mission is. We're still trying to find Fallon, but now we're finding out all this history. Like, why is this going on? What is part of the other stuff? And like I complained about earlier, why the elves were basically in the opener for season one when we ever never actually even made an appearance.
So didn't they make an appearance in like a pseudo flashback or something?
No, they said that the elves will come here. Okay. And it showed like the back of their heads on a boat.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then getting into 14.
Yeah, 14.
Oh. New opener, everything else.
Yeah.
Beginning of second part. We've talked about those already.
Yeah.
But we come back into it, which
we get a narrator this time.
We do. We get a little bit of a narrator. And we have Mr. Tansu and Miss Tansu, Kaka Kiki, and Namari.
Namari.
Yeah, and they find Cobra's party, which I feel like they've been sitting there, Cobra's party, since we've seen Laos's party actually pull them out of the water.
I think that's the point, yeah, because they're still in the that water area, I believe.
Right.
Because if I remember correctly, Namari and her group went back up to the surface, and then they're coming back down.
Right.
So it's
gonna see, and that's another question I have. How fast can you get from the top surface all the way back down? Because like I thought it was taking us a little while to do all that stuff.
With Laos and them, wasn't it like 6 days?
Yeah.
Like it took them like six days or something to get to that level.
And this one seemed like it was a lot faster than that. But we also don't know if Tansu has any like portal magic.
That's true.
We did go back to the surface through a portal, so
yeah.
But we have Cobra's party that is resurrected. We get kind of to meet all of them. They've been really just guys that were in the background for the most part that we haven't really seen anything of.
Yeah.
Except, you know, until like now, we've known about Cobra. We've kind of gotten a name here and there, but really not anything like set in stone.
You know,
that we can actually.
You know what though?
What,
when we got to this episode, I thought, you know, like they obviously like revive Cobra and his party.
Yeah,
I thought they were gonna die again right after that scene.
Yeah.
And we would just go on with Laos and his party.
Believe me, I thought that shit was going to happen too.
I was like, they were going to like die and be in like another part of the dungeon or something. And like Laos' party would find them.
You just slowly.
Because like that happened twice already.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
No, I agree.
I thought it was going to be like a running joke.
Yeah.
Which I would have thought was hysterical.
Right,
but yeah.
So and so the other weird thing is the resemblance of this party. It almost seems like everybody is like something related to Laos's party, because Cobra is like a Laos, McBell, which is the little halfling, is basically
like Chilchuck.
Chilchuck. Daya would have been Namari.
Yeah.
Rin would have been Shiro, because that's the wizard chick. And then Halm, which is another half-foot, would have basically been what the position that Fallon was in, because he is the healer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kuro, which I guess that would almost be like when Fallon was with them, if Namari and Shiro would have been there, and Senshi would have been like a Kuro.
Okay.
Maybe.
But yeah, they do get revived, like you said. They end up like stopping to eat or something?
No, they decide that they're going to go back up because they don't have any food. They keep questioning why Laos's party, because they know the smell.
Yeah.
Why Laos's party are the only ones that basically keep stealing food from them. And they say that. That's a question.
Right. That's right, yeah.
They only steal their food. They don't steal treasure or anything else. But this, I feel like, is kind of a weird conundrum in the whole thing. Because remember what they first said is they hate this other party, which is Laos and all of them, because they stole their treasure.
Yeah.
And that's the part where I'm like, wait, so you're not upset that they stole your treasure, because they hardly ever steal your treasure. But that one time they stole it, now you're kind of after them. But they keep stealing your food, and you question why.
Yeah, like, you know, they're technically dead.
Right.
Or they were dead. You know.
But we do get why, what happened to them, which is why we found the dead fishmen. They got ambushed by the fishmen. They killed off as many as they could, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then this is where they had that weird funky mist stuff happen.
Yeah, that's right, because they're walking along the water and Cabra gets surrounded by fishmen, and as he's like fighting this fishman, he notices that the fighting style is similar, and it's the fighting style to one of his
and they wield members. An axe.
Yeah, they wield an axe, yeah. And he starts to
it's Daya, the dwarf.
He starts to put it together that, oh, all these fishmen are actually my party members. And he goes to okay, which one's like the most threatening, you know, the high risk type of thing. And he figures it out. It's Rin, the caster. He's like, oh, the easiest way to stop somebody from casting a spell is to kiss him.
Yeah,
and he does
the
non-aggressive. I feel like that kiss was a little aggressive, just saying. But also,
oh yeah, especially from her point of view as a fish man.
Yeah,
like the whole, you know, it's not lips to lips. It's like fucking like lips to face.
Did they ever show what like Cabra looked like?
Yeah, it was in a little thing in her head.
What was it?
He looked almost like the same, but it was like a big, like purpley blue fish.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I missed that or not.
Yeah, it was where he was telling him what happened, and Rin gets this little like air bubble above her head. Uh-huh. This is the only time we see an air bubble, really. And it shows her, but how we saw him kissing a fish, it was her with a fish kissing her.
Okay.
Yeah, it was funny.
But yeah, he takes him out, and he takes out the people who are actually like casting this spell and whatnot. And these are the people who we've seen them before. They're the ones
the corpse collectors.
They're the corpse collectors, but they're like kind of like bad guys almost, or scumbags basically. And
yes.
They're like, well, yeah, we'll help you for a price. And these are the guys who helped Cabra before, I think, right?
Yeah, these are the guys that actually stole from
him. Okay, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we wanted you to lead us to the other group, which is Laos's group, so we can get stuff from them too. But that didn't work out so well.
Well, and they didn't really say that. They said that they were waiting for these guys to die.
Was it? That's what they were doing?
Yeah, they were waiting for these guys again because they knew they were going down a floor.
Yeah.
And they were going to get them from the water one, but they had to get... Because before, remember, we saw the other two guys and it was just two.
Okay.
The spellcaster guy and then the dick.
Yeah.
That was like, ooh.
But...
go ahead. And then they do that and they were going to follow them and then revive them and charge a higher fee because for lower floors... And then we find out that basically it's because, and Cobra actually tells us, it's because they're working the system. They would take people down there, they would kill them off, they would take them back, and then the guild, or the king or mayor or whoever it was,
yeah,
would actually pay for those bodies to be retrieved. And so if you were a lower floor and you said, hey, this is where I got him at, then you would get a higher pay for it. And that's what they were doing, was trying to come down and actually get Cobra's recruit again and charge them again more because they were on a lower floor. Slash, if any of the other guys that were with this other group died, mm-hmm, they could also get money for theirs. That's where it was... These guys have basically been extorting the system, and Cobra thought that they were trash.
We also find out, too, that you can't hurt another group of adventurers as well.
You're not supposed to, you're right.
You're not supposed to. Like, it's highly frowned upon and sort of illegal or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to hurt another adventurer, period.
Yeah.
Like, even somebody else in your party.
Yeah.
Because it could be seen that you were doing that to extort money.
Yeah. But I have to say, really did like the fight with Cobra when he was looking at the fishmen. I thought that was very well animated.
Oh, yes.
I feel like I liked it. I was very surprised. Like, after, like, he tells, what was it, the extorter, the main corpse collector guy.
Yeah.
He tells Cobra to, what did he tell him to do? Oh, I forgot. He tells him to do something.
Where he sees the other fish, which are the actual other guys in the party.
Uh-huh.
He knocks them out because they're the only ones that's still standing around. He's trying to get to the spellcaster because he knows who that is. Looking at him in the fishman to try and get the spell to the illusion magic to go away. And so he runs up to him, scares the shit out of him, and in doing so knocked out two of the other guys of this other party. And the guy tells him, basically, here's this Triton, stab that guy that you already knocked out, kill him, and then we'll take him back and we'll split the money.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I love the scene though after that where it was surprising. Like, Cobra stabs the guy right through the fucking throat into his head.
Yes.
I was like, fucking vicious. Like, yeah. I'm not a Cobra fan at all, but vicious fucking move, Cobra.
Right.
Like, I was like, holy fucking shit. This is Namari getting poked in the head, you know, all over again, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, getting shot in the head by by the water spirit or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I do have to say that I felt like that was some deserved just desserts.
No, it definitely is. Definitely is deserved. That guy was a scumbag. For sure.
Well, and even to add insult to injury, I loved it because, you know, they pulled them all out of the water to see what they had.
Yeah.
That's where they got the food from.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have any. And then they threw them all back in the water.
Yeah. They threw their money, too, I believe, as well in the water.
Yes. They sunk it because they said that they weren't as bad as those guys.
Yeah. They're like, we don't need their money.
Yeah, we're not thieves. We're not gonna do that. Yeah. We'll just take the food.
Yeah.
So that was pretty funny. But then they continue back across the water, trying to leave again after this whole weird thing. And then we get what we have where all the little swordfish come up. again.
Oh, we forgot about the whole point where the group, when they're eating, they talk about Laos's group and how, like,
yeah, that they figured out who the other group was.
Who the other group was, if they figured it's Laos's group, and how, like, the world perceives Laos's group and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like we got, like, the darkest stuff of what we've seen from them.
Uh-huh.
Because, and one thing kind of pissed me off, and this is why I will stay on the boat with you of not being a Cobra fan.
Uh-huh.
Like, sure, he's kind of cool or whatever, but Cobra is just, like, a dick. I think he's a condescending asshole, and he tries to take everything in the extreme without understanding it. Because when they were talking about it, they were talking about Fallon and Laos and how they've been with so many different groups of people.
So
I understand that you team up with who you can, and that's not a problem. But then what have we learned about Laos and Fallon this whole time?
That they're loyal.
They're kind of fucking gullible.
Yeah.
Right. And there were people that were in the party with them, basically said, hey, I got sick or whatever. They faked it. And Laos and Fallon just gave them, like, a bag of gold, said, sorry, you know, I hope this is good enough. And then the person never went back to adventuring.
Yeah.
And Cobra basically said that everybody that did that or whatever, it was Laos and Fallon's fault.
Yeah, basically.
And I'm like, Cobra, like, you know, like, sorry, but, like, half the shit that you said on certain things have made you an even worse character than Laos. So, you know, like, and like this whole scene really, I think, set, because whenever we did the stuff before, I kind of was liking Cobra. He was becoming a character I thought that I really liked. And this whole thing just really set in, like, I will never be a fucking Cobra fan.
So to me, now this might sound weird, but to me, Cobra is the Poochie of Delicious in Dungeons.
The Poochie?
The Poochie.
What does that mean?
So in The Simpsons, there's this whole episode where Itchy and Scratchy need, like, a revamp of some kind. Like, something new to help out their dwindling views, I think it was.
Okay.
And so they come up with Poochie the Rocking Dog. And he has, like, a backwards baseball cap, sunglasses, baggy pants, nunchucks. And he's going to be, like, the third character in this cartoon.
Oh, my God.
And he tests, like, so horribly and stuff. He's voiced by Homer. And, like, they build up Poochie so big. And, like, he doesn't even, like, make it through the first episode.
Yeah.
And he just gets tossed away, basically.
Oh, my God.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, he's Poochie. I feel like he's Poochie to me. Which, I mean, we could talk about it when we get to the end of this. Like, I'm not a big Cobra fan at all. And I feel like the show is trying to force me to be a fan of Cobra. For like somebody,
this set in for me to not like him at all.
For somebody who is so competent in this episode, he very much is not competent, like, at the beginning of this show or whatever.
Right.
Like, how can he just become so good, like, recently, you know? Like, it just doesn't make sense, I feel like. But we do, like you said, after the whole thing, you know, they go across the water and they see the blade fish. And
Well, going back, though, I mean, when they talk about the whole party.
Yeah.
You know, like that's bad. You know, they basically jump in on Fallon and stuff, too. And we're like.
And Marcel.
What are you talking about? Fallon's never been a problem. Chillchuck was this evil scumbag that did everything for money and made you sign contracts, which I do feel like we've seen a little bit of that, but I don't feel like we've ever seen that when he's with this party.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of the same shit, you know, that they wanted to say about Namari. Like, if she moved out of the Tonsu's party then and rejoined them, that there was going to be problems because now only, like, dark figures were going to hire her. Because she comes to where the money is.
Her dad was very much like, I think, like a money-hungry seller for, like, item, like weapons, I think it was.
Yes. And that's why dwarves have a bad name.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody. I mean, and that was the other thing. Like, the whole party, like, took punk hits, I feel like, at Shiro. And they took it at Namari. And they took it at, like, basically everybody. The only person they couldn't do was basically because of the plot armor of not knowing who it is Senshi.
That's true.
You know, but every other person, like, they had some kind of wisecrack about them or whatever. And I'm like, we've been with this party the whole time, enough to fall in love with them, do all this other stuff. And, like, to hear all this other stuff really just makes me hate Cobra's party.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like they're just misinformed. They don't know the whole story.
They don't.
Either because of, you know, like, the naivety of Fallon and Laos with the money and taking people at their word and stuff like that. Like you said, Laos is loyal. I feel like the party is honest, all this other stuff. You know, Chilchuck is the contingency plan. Like, hey, I'm going to need something up front. I'm not going to do it for free, which is smart. You know, like, all this other stuff that we've seen out of the party and that we kind of know with the different characters. And then to have all these people kind of trash on who we've seen, I feel like they were really putting our path to hate them.
Yeah, most definitely.
But like we said, we ate the food, which they were eating good. It looked like good food.
Yeah.
But it was different than all the monster food we've seen. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know if I trust this food.
Then they're going the way that, like, I think, like Laos and his group went. They see the blade fish. They get.
They were going back to the back.
They were really going back. Okay.
Yeah. They stopped to eat and then they were walking back across the water.
They see the blade fish. They're like, oh my God, the blade fish. And they're like, no, there's something else is here. And it's like a big, like, sea serpent. And they're going to get ready to take care of it. And they can't. And who happens to show up? But finally, the samurai himself, Shiro, shows up to take care of the sea serpent with his potential harem of travelers?
I knew you were going to say some shit like that.
Question mark?
I knew you were going to say some shit like that.
Well, I mean, like, I saw the first two. Like, there was the one who was like, oh, Miss Shiro, do you have blood on your garment? And then there's the Oni girl. The big club.
You're talking about the one with the wings, right?
The shift wings?
Yeah. The first one that did the attack.
Oh.
Yeah. That threw the bomb or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she had, like, bird wings or something.
Oh, I didn't know she had bird wings.
That should have been Meizuru.
Uh-huh.
And then the big one you like is Inutade.
Yeah, she thick.
One of the other ninja girls with long hair is Hein.
So here's the thing. Like,
we had Benny Chitadori.
So when I watched this at first, the first time I watched this.
And Itsuzumi.
The first time I watched this episode.
Yeah.
I was so tired. I fell asleep. Halfway through, and I woke up at the part where Shiro shows up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there were other women with him. I thought it was just the two women.
Yeah.
Then I watched it this time. I was like, where did these three other women come from?
Yeah, there's like five of them.
They're ninjas.
Yeah.
They're dressed in, like, ninja garb. And,
well, you know, Inutade, I was sitting there and I was like, and it popped in my head. I was sitting there, like, I was like, Monster Masume, you know, the big tan, like, ogre girl or whatever that's in the monster squad, And I was like, sitting there, I was like, that's who she kind of reminds me of. And I was like, I get to it and I look, Mike's gonna say some shit about that, because I was like, Mike's a pervert for big Oni ladies. I'm just gonna call it out. Like, and she popped on screen. I was like, that motherfucker.
I was like, I know
how his reaction's gonna be for this character.
I was like, yeah, but and then like we see Shiro leave, and he's like, he doesn't want anything to do with Cobra's group, and Cobra kind of entices him. Because he happens to have information about Fallon.
Did you figure out why the why Kuro, the kobold dog guy, was growling at the one thing?
Because she's a cat.
Yeah,
she's a cat girl.
Yeah, Itsuzumi is a was like a half foot or something, and got cursed to be a like a cat girl.
Okay, yeah, I noticed it. I kind of noticed because she had like the pointy ears, and I think her skin was a different color.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't pick up on it at first. The second time I watched it, I picked up on it. And we find out that Shiro is looking for Fallon. And Shiro looks a little worse for wear, I feel like. He's got a little scruff going on.
He does.
Yeah, he's like, he kind of seems like, okay, like, let's get through this so we can get to the next part, like, power through this, you know, to go find Fallon.
Yeah.
He hasn't had much luck, it seems like. Because we don't really know what happened to Shiro after he left the original party.
No, we knew he returned home. That was
about Did it. He return home?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. And I'm guessing these women are from his home, which is like the Eastern or Western.
Yeah, Eastern.
Eastern, continent.
And they we did get in this episode where they did say that they believed he was from like a noble family because Rin is actually Eastern as well.
Okay.
Yeah. We find that out about Rin and we find out about that. And I'm confused if all tall men that have black hair are considered Eastern or what.
Probably.
Because that's what it sounded like. And I was confused by
Probably.
That.
Probably. I would say that.
So this is my second gripe of this episode.
Okay.
And you're gonna listen to it, and you're gonna be like, I don't know if I agree with that. I hated Shiro's voice actor for this character.
I have to say,
I felt like it was okay for this appearance, but when you put all the voices together with like Chilchuck and Marcel and Leos or whatever,
okay,
I thought it was too deep.
Okay, so see, here's the thing. As little as Shiro as we've gotten so far in the show, this is like the biggest moment Shiro has had,
right?
Essentially, and I have to say, I will have to give him. I would say till next episode to you, purely say on voice quality. I feel like because we haven't had that much time to.
I just feel like it's too deep.
I mean, he's probably like that stoic character, right?
Yeah, but I feel like it's too deep. I feel like we would be better with like Spike from Cowboy Bebop as like his voice.
But Spike has a really deep voice.
I know, but it's not as deep as Shiro's is. Shiro makes me think about like Jet.
But see, Jet, no, because Jet has an even deeper voice than Spike.
I know, and that's what Shiro's voice makes me think about, because it's
no,
deep.
You know, like his voice.
But with Shiro, I imagine like maybe a Johnny Young Bosch. I imagine like a Spike. I imagine like
well, maybe it'll take him time to grow in and actually find the voice sometimes, you know?
I don't know. It's just really deep. And that, I'm like, I don't feel like it goes with the party at all.
That didn't actually really bother me that much. What bothered me is I had to follow Cobra again.
For the whole episode.
You motherfucker! So like we get to the end. Let's get to the end and we'll talk about this episode. So we get to the end. Like, they agree to help each other. And then we find out that Leos's group isn't doing too well at all. Like, they're just fucking lost. You know? And that's where the episode ends at that point. you know, to wrap up the episode.
Yeah, because we get where what's his name? Cabra asks to join Shiro's group.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he says, oh, y'all are going that way. Care if we tag along? And I guess they had, I thought they ate everything, but I guess they have some leftover food.
Probably.
So, but yeah. And then it basically ends there.
So, I didn't 100% hate this episode. I thought it was an okay episode.
Yeah.
Wasn't my favorite. I feel like, okay, go with me on this one.
Okay.
We take Cabra and his group out of the equation.
Then the episode's only like 10 seconds
long. No. We take them out. We would have taken them out and made this a Shiro-centric episode.
Then I would have disliked Shiro even more.
But the thing is, like, we would get more of him.
I just don't feel like the voice doesn't do it for me with Shiro. Like I said, it's too deep. I don't imagine Shiro's voice being that deep.
I think you need to get your ears cleaned out because he does not sound like a deep jet black voice.
No, I said he could be on par with that.
No, he can't. Because
seems well, like... Well, see,
the thing is, at first...
What was the guy that was in...
You're not letting me talk. You're not letting me talk here.
Cowboy Bebop, what was the movie?
Cowboy Bebop, the movie?
The dude.
Oh, Vincent.
Yeah, that's what it...
But see, here's the thing. Okay. Like... When we first meet Shiro in this episode, yes, he does have a deep voice. But when Cabra mentions Fallon, his voice changes on a dime.
I don't
feel it gets lighter and has more like it's more like higher pitch, like more excited. At first it seems like, you know, he was very much like, no, I don't want to talk with you. Like, let's move on. And then we hear his family. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's talk.
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
Are you sure your ears don't need to be checked?
Yeah. No, that's definitely how it is.
I don't think so.
Like
I think how you did it, like you sounded like Batman. Like, I think how you did it sounded like Batman. And then whenever he changes it, it sounds like, you know, like whenever he didn't have the voice thing, he's like, he went from I'm Batman to I'm Batman.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it changed an octave.
His demeanor changes when Fallon is brought up. When before that, he was like the broody, like stoic, like guy. And then
he is, but I just don't feel like the voice fits him at all.
I think the voice is perfectly okay. I mean, if you don't like it, you can always switch to Japanese.
This is true. I'm going to swap over to the Japanese so I can listen to it.
So, you know, there's that, you know. I liked episode 13 more than episode 14. 14, I feel like, gotta be honest, a little fillery. A little bit. And I was like,
for sure felt that way.
I don't need all these characters. These extra characters at all.
Right.
Well,
because we had to get everything like all at once.
And I feel like we're going to have too many characters at one point. Like, we need to start killing some of these extra characters off.
Cabra, you need to go to another end of the thing and just die again, okay?
Die again. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Go to floor 4.
So, I would rate the episode separately. I would rate number 13, I would rate it a solid 4 because I thought it was good. I would rate this a 3. Like,
I would agree with a 4 for that one.
Yeah.
This one...
I wouldn't say it was terrible. It had its moments.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like just with all the problems I had with this, I always usually rate higher than you on most things. I'm going to go with a 2.5.
Now, I would be interested to see, like, would this come to a head? And, you know, we have conflict between Cabra's team and then Leos's team.
I'm sure that'll happen.
You know, and...
But I think I'm going to go with a 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Just because, like I said, I had a lot of gripes. Cheers, I mean, voice. That's fine. The opener.
But I don't feel like the opener should affect the story.
I feel like the opener affects the change. It's kind of like if you're reading a book and there's advertisements in it. If it doesn't go with like what you're into, you're like, oops. I mean, think about it. If you're reading a book and they had hentai advertisement, would you not give it a higher rating? Because you're like, yeah, that's what I want to see. Versus, like, what if they put, like, you know, like, what's the other thing called? Shonen Kids or whatever in it? You'd be like...
Oh, Shota?
No, the Shonen Kids stuff, you know, where it's, like, meant for, like, five-year-olds or whatever.
Oh, I don't remember what it's called.
Like, it's jokey manga. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Or like Yo-Kai Watch, and you're like,
yeah,
like I what advertisements were in there? But if it was hentai or something like that, you'd be like, Jen, do you remember reading blah 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 and seeing that?
I feel like this episode 14 ends on a little bit of a low point for me.
Yeah,
but I hope it picks itself back up with the introduction of Shiro and stuff. You know, right. And where that goes, who knows?
Right. And it could bounce all over the place, yeah. Honestly. Because now we have Leos's party, and we have Shiro's party, and we have Cabra's party. Yeah. So I fully 100% agree with you that now we have too many chickens in the hen house.
Yeah, start killing people off.
Yeah, so we're going to have something either leaving or something like that. And we did get a little bit of the thing of knowing that the elves are coming still. Because you know, they were brought up. And how many people is that going to add to our already huge cast?
You know what they should do? They should do a Hunger Games.
The elves kill off half the characters.
Because, you know, food related.
You know, you could have been okay with the sea serpent if fucking Shiro didn't cut its head off and it could have eaten Cabra, and you would have been fine, okay? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a mixed bag for sure, but I mean, I still enjoyed watching these episodes.
Right.
You know, I didn't 100% hate it. I'm going to continue on because we're already this far into the podcast, you know. Yeah. You're watching it.
Right. No, yeah. I agree. And it did, I feel like, make me hungry to know what the next episode was going to be.
Yeah, that's
like.
True. That's true.
So, but, I mean, nowhere but up from here, honestly.
But as always, make sure to rate and review the podcast. It helps the podcast grow. You can do so on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Leave comments on Spotify. And make sure to go check out our new podcast. It's called, well, it's not really new. It's our Pokemon episodes, but go check out Gotta Read Them All, a Pokemon podcast where we talk about the Pokemon manga. We got about like 16 episodes up there right now, I believe. Go check it out and follow that podcast. And we'll catch you guys on the next pod. Stay safe. Yeah. And
see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.